It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA Music Mix.
Hi, I'm Larry London. Today in the news, the issue of bullying has become very, very commonplace. Unfortunately, a lot of people are bringing attention to this matter, and a lot of people are disclosing and revealing the fact that they themselves were bullied. Those in show business. And today we welcome such a young, aspiring musician into our studios. Her name is Lizzie Sider, and she is here today, and we'll be discussing her experience with bullying and why she's decided to make a difference with her music. Stay tuned to Border Crossings. Lizzie Sider's here, and so are you.
Follow some winding road to the middle of nowhere. I'm just gonna sit back, enjoy the ride, watch the way the sun sets in your eye. I've got nothing but time, so keep on taking the long way.
London, and we welcome you to Border Crossings. And in our studios here in downtown D.C. is a very beautiful, very charismatic, and very talented young teenager who is spreading a very important message these days with her brand new EP. We'd like to welcome to D.C. Lizzie Sider. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Larry. Nice to be here.
And I know it's an exciting time for you because you're about to release your brand new EP, another EP.
Yes. I will be releasing this new EP, self-titled, early 2015. So it has a lot of cool songs on it. It has 6 songs, all either solely written or co-written by me, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. I have a real connection to it. Mm-hmm. It's a real great piece of work, and I'm excited for everybody to listen to it. Mm-hmm.
And the songs, you have some very, very powerful people in the business behind some of these songs. You have a songwriter who's written with Martina McBride and Reba McEntire, so I mean, obviously, this must be a very exciting time for you.
It is exciting. And when you talk about who really put a lot of work into this EP, we've been so fortunate. I mean, there have been so many great people and who've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I don't mean old. I mean, you know, been around and
seasoned.
Been really seasoned. Been very successful. The EP is produced by James Stroud, mm-hmm. who is just so amazing, and he's had countless number one hits and just so much success, and mm-hmm. working with him was great. And also the songwriters. I mean, I love writing songs, and especially working with new songwriters. Mm-hmm. It's a fun job to have.
So your journey kind of started, from what I read, because of a Miley Cyrus concert.
Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana was my first concert, if you, you know, count out Barney and the Wiggles. That was the first concert. And it was really fun. And mm-hmm. not just that, but, you know, also going to Taylor Swift concerts and seeing the Jonas Brothers. And mm-hmm. More recently, I went to a Foreigner concert, which I love. And I wish I could see the Monkees in person. And if they were still here. But I've just always gone to concerts, and especially with, you know, very dynamic performers, I've always said to myself, I want to do that, mm-hmm. and I can do that. I actually started in musical theater when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I was in my first ever musical theater production in the small town of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where mm-hmm. my parents and I go every summer, and there's a little playhouse theater out there. Mm-hmm. And so it was part of the children's theater camp for a week long. You go, and mm-hmm. you learn a little bit about the theater, then you put on a half-hour show at the end of the week, and I didn't even know how to read yet. So my mom would read me my lines, and I would repeat mm-hmm. them back to her to memorize. But I've always seen people on stage and been influenced by them.
Hmm. And you said a small town, again, the name?
Jackson Hole.
Jackson
Wyoming.
Hole. Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah.
How many people are in Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Well, actually, it's a fairly large, the town itself, mm-hmm. don't hold me to this, but I believe that the town itself is around 10,000, maybe a little bit over, mm-hmm. but I think the whole area is probably like 20,000-30,000.
Right.
I mean, but it's great. It's out, I mean, in the middle of, I mean, the West, and it's great. You have the mm-hmm. Teton Mountain Range, and it's so beautiful, and you're just so inspired.
And I bet you they're all proud of you. The biggest star out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And now you're living in Florida.
Yes.
I think I read. And so how's the transition been in your lifestyle? Because now you're on the road as a teenager promoting and performing music, which is, I mean, it's hard to keep up your studies at 16. You're in high school.
Yeah.
And yet you've chosen to take on this career at the same time.
Yes. You know, I mean, I've always lived in Florida my whole life, and it's just been a really nice home. It's mm-hmm. warm, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. I mean, I'm 16, and I have this opportunity to be traveling around the country and to be going to, you know, Nashville and LA and New York and DC and mm-hmm. everywhere, and be taking my music and my message. And since my sophomore year of high school, I've been homeschooled, which is a little bit different mm-hmm. Than going to regular school,
sure,
you know, just
sure.
because of all my traveling. But it's working out. It's great. My teachers are really supportive. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate to have them, you know, understanding and really excited for my career as well. But it's been great. And not only do I sing, I am an anti-bullying activist. Mm-hmm. And so I go to schools around the country, primarily elementary and middle, and I talk to kids about bullying, and I share my story with them because I did experience that when I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge thing for me and really changed my life and made me the person I am today. But with that, I'm able to go out and sing for them and bring joy to them and talk about anti-bullying and positivity, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of very famous people are now speaking out about, mm-hmm. You know, against bullying. People like Lady Gaga and Demi Lovato, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are. So what is your connection to bullying? What is your story, your experience?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that, yes, I do realize that a lot of people do come out and talk about how they have been bullied. And I think that a lot of creative people may have been victims of bullying, because I think in the eyes of other kids, especially, that may come off as weird or mm-hmm. Not the norm, which, hey, I'm proud to be weird. I love it. But but yeah, it's great. It's a, no, but my story with bullying is, it started in about kindergarten for me and went through about fourth grade. I was teased by the other kids in my grade, and it's crazy. As I've been traveling around to schools around the country, I realized that it really is a thing that occurs in every school. So I guess I just happened to be in the thick of things at my school, even though my school was, oh my gosh, I loved it. I mean, some of the best memories were made there, and I had some great friends there. But, you know, there were a group of mean girls, and that really affected me. You know, I was excluded from games at recess. I wasn't allowed to sit at certain, well, not allowed, but, you know, from sitting at certain lunch tables, and they would call me names and they'd laugh at me. And a story that I actually tell the kids is that in these assemblies is that a lot, very often when I would be excluded from games at recess, I've walk around the playground and I'd sing to myself, you know, very quietly, just walk around. And these group of girls, they'd come up and say, "Hey, Lizzie, can you sing a song for us?" And so, of course, I thought, you know, maybe this time they're being nice to me. Maybe they really do care. And so I would start singing for them. And I remember very vividly how they would stand up and laugh at me and run away after a few seconds. And that's something that, that's just one of the things that happened, but it was really hurtful to me. And I would come home crying almost every single day. And so, you know, coming home from school, my mom would pick me up and she would always talk with me about, you know, how was your day? And she's just such an amazing woman. So I had her. And also when I came home, my dad would come home from work and we'd talk about it too. So both my parents were very supportive. And one day, walking out the door to go to school one morning, my dad, you know, still in his robe from the morning, he came out and he said, "I want you to remember that nobody has the power to ruin your day." And I guess that just hit home. After a while, I realized it, and I got to understanding that this is something I'm going to have to deal with for my whole life. And it's not just in school, and it's not just mean girls. It's probably in work and in sports. I mean, everything, and in life. And you just have to learn to put up your brick wall and to just let it bounce off. And so that actually became the theme of my anti-bullying tour. I've gone to about 300 schools across the country. Wow. This last year. And so we actually give the kids this wristband that says, "Nobody has the power to ruin your day." Mm-hmm. And that's the theme, and it's a very big part of it.
Oh, great. Well, I'm going to let you sing the song that is carrying that message along with you to all these schools.
All right.
And it's on your new album.
It is.
So we're going to ask you to perform. It's Butterfly.
It's Butterfly.
All right.
Here we go. I used to hide and keep inside, afraid to show the world who I was. In shades of gray, I'd spend my days so invisible because they'd always put me down. Well, yeah, let them keep me down. But look at me now, look at me now. Finally coming out and I'm wanting to fly. In a safe little space, it's only fear that kept me here. With dreams too big for the small place, they liked me deaf and dumb. Had no idea what I'd become. Look at me now, look at me now. Finally coming out and I'm wanting to fly. Gonna spread my wings, bright and colorful things. Let them take me out to touch. Colors of mine are
out and I'm wanting to fly. Gonna spread my wings bright and colorful things. Let them take me up to touch the sky. They thought they knew me plain and shy, but all along I was a butterfly. Yeah.
Sounding great.
Thank you.
Love it. Butterfly. Beautiful song. Lizzie Sider. Absolutely beautiful song.
Thank you.
And you co-wrote that or you wrote it yourself?
I did. I co-wrote that with country singer Jamie O'Neill, also Jimmy Murphy and Lisa Drew, who are just two other fantastic writers. Jimmy's actually Jamie's dad. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because we wrote the song in Jamie's living room at her house. And to think that something can go from a little melody and a guitar and a song idea and can spiral into something as big as Butterfly and a song that empowers people and a song that is the theme of my anti-bullying tour, it's really surreal to kind of be the one going through that journey with the song. And I mean, it's just a song, but it can do so much.
Now, we were talking before you sang Butterfly, and we were talking earlier as well about the fact that you have a great support group, a great support system in your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
What do you tell the kids that don't have that don't have a support system around them? How do they handle bullying? What advice do you give them?
You know, I probably go to a lot of schools where that is the case and a lot of the kids that I see. And just thinking about it does break my heart because, you know, as a child in elementary school, going through it from my standpoint, it was verbal and emotional, which was still heavy on me. That's why I say not only, but I was very fortunate not to experience any physical abuse. Any physical bullying. And I was very fortunate to have my parents and my best friend as my support group and my teachers. So for kids that don't have that, I truly believe that even if we may not think that we have somebody for support or somebody for true advice, maybe at the first look, I think that everybody does have somebody and everybody can go to somebody, especially a child. I mean, that first step is kind of going and feeling okay to go and to talk to an adult or to go and to talk to somebody who can help them. And that's also what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. I'm the support group for a lot of kids. And I think that also I encourage adults who also talk to me to, you know, be open, encourage them to be even more open with their children or more understanding, even though I'm not an adult, I'm only 16, I'm not a doctor. I just know what I've experienced and I know what really helped me and I know what advice really got me through it and made me the person I am today. And so, you know, that's the advice from my parents and what they've told me my whole life. That's where I'm coming from when I talk to these kids. Mm-hmm. And it was just so life-changing for me. And I can only hope to take my experience being bullied and going through what I did at such a young age, their age, to go and to help them and to inspire them. And not just kids. I mean, people of all ages.
Mm-hmm. And you know you're making a difference because you hear back from moms and you hear back from the kids that you've spoken to.
Yes, it's amazing. Most of the messages like that come from my Facebook page. I get lots of messages daily on my Facebook page, you know, from students and from teachers and moms and dads. Mm-hmm. And some of them are, you know, you came to my school today, you really inspired me. Some of them are, you know, what do I do if or I'm going through this situation? Can you help me? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are, I was previously a bully and you inspired me not to be one anymore and to be a positive influence on my community. Some are from students and parents who talk about more heavy stuff, mm-hmm. Which in that case, I often consult my mom or my dad or both of them. And I say, you know, how can we respond? How can I help this person? But it's, you know, it's, I'm just extending my good heart and my good wishes out to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm their support group. And it means a lot that I'm not just a singer, that I'm not just somebody who entertains from on stage. I'm somebody who really connects with her fans, and I've been told that I'm a role model to so many, and that's like my life goal.
That's got to be gratifying. And you know, there's so much to you that is, you know, along with, of course, the message that you're carrying. And are you, you know, you want to make yourself available to people who don't get a chance to see you in the schools as well? Because mm-hmm. right now we're reaching people who I don't think you're going to be visiting their schools. I'm not sure. Maybe you're mm-hmm. going to Nigeria, or you're going to Kuwait, or you're going to, you know, different parts in the world.
Right.
But if you're not, and they're listening and they've been touched by what you're saying and they want to find out more about you, are there, you said Facebook, are there other websites
yes.
that can reach out to you?
I'm everywhere. You can go Facebook, Twitter. All my handles are just Lizzie Sider. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website, YouTube, iTunes. Mm-hmm. Send me an email, you know, but it's, I'm all over and lots of great stuff out there.
She wore a t-shirt her brother gave her, pulled her hair back and got up to bat. With the first pitch, the bat cracked. Nobody believed she could hit like that. She was in 10th grade, only got straight A's. But she could kick far, could be the football star. But the coach said, girl, you can't start. Girls weren't made to play that hard. Her whole life she's heard, you're pretty good for a girl. She won't let that into her world. Hit as hard as you can, run as fast as you can. Love is deep and be all that you can. That you can, and that's what it means to
are obviously an internet sensation with a million views on your videos. So that's mega huge, a million views on YouTube.
Thank you.
Have some bracelets or hand wristbands that you pass out?
May I explain?
Please do, because I'm sure people by now are saying, what is all that stuff on the keyboard?
Over here?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, actually, Larry and I, this is a trade secret, Larry and I were trying to see if we could make a wristband pyramid. No, I'm just kidding. So these bracelets are, obviously, we weren't that successful. So the my anti-bullying tour, the theme is Nobody Has the Power to Ruin Your Day. The theme song is Butterfly. Now, I wanted to do something really cool for the kids and, you know, to give them really something physical to hold on to kind of reinforce that lasting impression that my assembly would leave. And these are wristbands that we made up for all of the kids who attend the assembly. It says, "Nobody has the power to ruin your day, Lizzie Sider." And as we were talking about earlier, Larry, that's what my dad told me. That really helped me. That was kind of the major sentence that sparked the new transformation. And so every child gets this wristband, and it's a big part of the assembly. You know, we all raise our hands up, and we repeat the quote, and it's my motto, and it's a phrase that I take along with me every day. Because as I've gotten older, even though I'm only 16, as I've gotten older, I've been running into more and more, and this is just life, I've been running into more and more situations where I have to tell myself, nobody has the power to ruin your day. And I believe that everybody, I mean, gets something, you know, negative, something threatens to ruin their day every day. And it's just an important message to realize. And I think if you can start thinking about it young with these kids, I mean, it can do real beautiful things. So
absolutely,
that's what the wristbands are for.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you. Do you very have one?
I'm not wearing it, but I got one. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll take another one.
Okay.
I'll take one for each ankle. And Lizzie Sider is with us here on The Voice of America. And, you know, we heard the first song, Butterfly. I'm sure the whole EP is not all about bullying, I assume.
No, it's not.
And there's much more to your career than, I mean, after this particular tour ends, then you go on another tour, and you're not, this is not a, you know, an ongoing thing. I don't assume that you're going to be the artist who only talks about bullying, right? I mean,
well, bullying is my cause, if you will. It's it's something that I really believe in, and it's something that I want to couple my music with. You know, it was funny. Last school year, I basically took 7 months. My parents and I, we took 7 months and we went to 250 schools throughout California, Florida, and Texas. Mm-hmm. And so that was crazy. It was a huge tour, and it was like 4 days a week, 3 assemblies a day. And so this year we kind of toned it down a little bit, but we still, you know, like I said, about 300 schools so far. Mm-hmm. Maybe we won't always be touring for a long period of time at a time, talking to schools. But I know that I will still continue to be very much involved in anti-bullying. I would love to stay, I mean, you know, to continue to go into schools or to reach kids directly. Mm-hmm. That's the most important to me, whether it's in a school or not. It's really getting that touch and that personal connection, which reinforces the whole idea. And that's what's special about it. No, but I mean, there's a lot of other fun stuff on the EP too. Mm-hmm. I have a few statement songs that just, you know, are just beautiful and just really kind of give you something to think about. There are a few fun songs on there that just come from a fun inspiration or an idea. So it's very universal, my music, because I write from, now whether it's a personal experience or not, I write from my soul, and I co-write from my soul. And, you know, if I'm thinking about something or if something's coming out of me, then it has to come out of somebody else too. So it's very universal and for people of all ages, really.
And you're at an age now at 16 and a half.
16 and a half.
16 and a half. Where, I mean, boys are now starting to become, if they haven't already, very important. And, and writing songs and singing songs that are inspired
by... No, time for boys. Dad would kill me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is if they heard some of the songs and they have to do with love and romance and kissing and boys, it's like... What? Wait a minute. We've tried to keep you on the road. It's not working.
No, it's so funny. The day that I bring home my first date, my dad is going to interview. It is going to be, and it's so funny. I actually have a couple of older friends too that's like, yeah, when you bring them over, us and, you know, your dad, we're going to be sitting in your living room. We're going to be pretending to clean our guns. And no, I'm just kidding. That's all fake. But just kind of. I'm 16.
Right. Now I know that you tell me what a great life and what a, but there are some things you must at some time think you're missing out a little bit something. I know you've got so many wonderful things to be thankful for.
Yeah.
But you know, how about prom and things like that a teenager wants to do?
Oh yeah. I've made so many sacrifices and I've actually had times, because taking on this career, because it really is, it's a whirlwind of like a new life in a way that I'm taking on and that I've been exposed to for a couple of years now. I've had a couple of times where I've actually, and I think this is healthy, that I've said, do I really want to do this? You know, this is, I'm giving up so much and I'm sacrificing a lot and I'm missing out on a lot of things. So is this really, you know, now or, but yes, of course there are things that I want to do like prom or, go to certain events with my friends or, be in school, probably at the top of the list or, you know, but I still am able to do that just on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the kind of person that likes to go out and party every weekend anyway. But I'm just really thankful that I do have that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle, but I'm learning to find that balance and I'm learning how to, as my career escalates and as things start to move faster and more things start to happen, I can still stay very, very grounded. Mm-hmm. And I can still have the support of my parents, which is, I mean, the most important to me and my friends, and I can still go back to my high school and act like I still go there and go to, you know, the musicals and the football games. And, but it is a sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
but it's a sacrifice for what am I trading it for?
Mm-hmm.
This amazing opportunity that I mean, this is my dream and I'm kind of living it every day.
Mm.
And I'll, you know, it's just up from here and why not start now?
Lizzie Sider. Couldn't have said it better myself. You have another song you're going to sing for us?
I do. This one is actually not on the EP, but a little bonus
just for
track.
Us.
Yeah, just called He Used to Be Mine.
All the time. I used to wear a ring that he made out of string, especially for me. I finally took it off. I never felt so lost, but I believed it would take some time, time to try and find myself again.
Thank you.
Sounding beautiful. Lizzy Sider is here on The Voice of America, sounding and looking lovely. The new EP doesn't have that song. That was a bonus for us, just for us. But you can get the new EP early in 2015.
Yep.
And people can go to your website.
Yes,
or
they
online,
can.
Or
yes,
how, where,
they
where
can
they go?
To get the new EP, you can go to iTunes, you can go to my website. Mm-hmm. You can find little alerts or pop-ups about it probably on my Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, your website?
My website is www.lizzieider.com.
And I know the Country Music Association magazine, Close Up, named you an artist to watch.
Yes.
And I believe you have your own TV show, if I'm not mistaken. Breakout?
Well, the Breakout, that actually was on a channel on a with a station called Zeus Country.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is, you know, they actually are very involved in with interviewing country music artists and playing music videos, getting really up close and personal with country music artists. And so it was cool. I went to the Hard Rock Live in downtown Nashville, and we sat down, and I got to host their Breakout segment. And so that was great. Yeah, just a lot of cool things happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Not many 16-year-old musicians have a 3-page bio. You have a lot going on. There's a lot in your life. There's a lot that's been happening.
Thank you.
Here's a question. Have you thought about or considered something like The Voice or The X Factor or American Idol or something like that to help, you know, raise the visibility?
Right. You know, we have thought about it. I have thought about it. Not sure if currently that's the road that we're going to go, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's not out of the question in any way.
Yeah, to be seen by 20 million people,
that's plus.
That's not going to hurt anything. And I see that you have sung the national anthem for many, many major events, major sporting events.
Yes, I have. Actually, the first time I sang the national anthem in front of people at all was when I was 8 years old
mm-hmm.
in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Back to Jackson Hole. There you go. I'm booking my flight.
Right. Oh, you should. Oh, so beautiful.
I will.
Everybody should go there at least once in their lifetime. It's beautiful. Let's see what. Yes. Jackson Hole. There's a local rodeo there. It's a big deal in town. And I sang the anthem for the rodeo. And it was great. You know, there was the little box up on top where mm-hmm. the announcer sits. And I have a picture, you know, me hanging out the window with the microphone and looking all around and looking at the people. And there was a woman on a horse, riding a horse with the flag all around the ring, which was really, really cool. just a, you know, first anthem is cool, mm-hmm. and you remember it. My first national anthem for a major league sporting team was when I was 9 years old for the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park in Boston.
And how did you get selected at nine?
You know, it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember actually going to a local, I think it was like either a local convention center or a local church in Pompano Beach, Florida, which is mm-hmm. South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And recording a video of me singing the national anthem, and we sent it out to a bunch of major teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Sox was the first one. I don't know if we had another connection there. But it was crazy because the day was – it was a huge rain delay.
Mm-hmm.
And 39,000 people were probably there to start. Went down to 36,000. So not too bad of a crowd.
Right, no.
And I sang the national anthem in front of – everybody, and it was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old, and I think they even pronounced my last name as Seidler, but hey, it was, you know, added to the ambiance.
Better for them to make the mistake
right.
than you to make the mistake.
the
singing,
right?
That happens.
Yeah, but no, since then I've been singing national anthems for, I mean,
you're a pro.
Ever
Old
since
hat.
Then I've sung and it's crazy because every time I sing the anthem, it gets more and more meaningful to me and more powerful
mm-hmm.
because my household is a very patriotic household, and we're very aware of what's going on. We love America and we love our troops, and we're very, there's a lot of American pride.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, singing it is a real honor every time, and I've probably done about 25, and
wow.
It's great. I actually was just talking to my parents the other day, like, let's do another national anthem. It's fun.
Well, fantastic. What are the holidays for you this year? What are you planning to do?
For Christmas, well, you know, going tree hunting is the best. So fun.
Finding the tree.
Finding the tree. So we're gonna get that up and celebrate. A lot of my family also celebrates Hanukkah, so we have it's really cool because we have kind of both in our house, and
mm-hmm.
It's nice to be well-rounded in that way. But the holidays, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm mm-hmm. really, because it's the most wonderful time of the year.
And then, of course, the new album comes out next year. So what would be, you know, your, I guess, resolution for 2015? What is your goal? What is your hope? What is your wish for the new year?
My New Year's resolution, which I'm still thinking about it for sure, but one of my New Year's resolutions is to, well, let's just stay kind of related to the topic, to wish, you know, to go all in 2015 as far as my music career goes, as far as my writing goes and singing goes, and just, you know, keep working on my craft, and look forward to some great advancement and some lots of fun, and you know, big splash with the EP, and everybody really enjoying it, and understanding as an artist what I'm conveying to them. And you know, because I think that with this EP, you really do get a good glimpse of who I am as an artist, and I'm always going to try to maintain that with everything I release. So I'm just, it's 2015, it just turned 2000. Well, I was only two, but it just I mean, it's
time
is going really fast.
Yes, it is.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. It's and crazy. You are mature well beyond your years, very articulate, intelligent, very informative for just being 16.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to have you here, and I know you're going to do another song
it's
for
been a
us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Larry.
No, it's definitely the pleasure's mine, and you know, I hope to have you back when you release your next album, and you know, you go on a tour and perform in stadiums and theaters and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. So. That's another New Year's resolution.
There you go. Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. It's on the list.
What are you going to sing next?
This next song I'm going to sing is a song. I was sitting at my piano at home one day, and I knew that I wanted to write about this concept of in color. And the initial idea came from, well, you know, I have so many friends who are different than I, and you know, whatever makes them different. And so there are, it seems like there are certain guidelines that society would set up for us, and we need to follow by those. So what was going through my head is that, you know, what would happen if I were to fall for somebody who is different than me? And it's also something that I've seen with friends of mine. So it was something that was kind of hitting home in that moment. And even though it's written from those terms, from maybe a relationship aspect, what I really want everybody to listen for, the overall message of the song, is seeing people for who they are, for things, you know, for what they really are, despite what tags or labels might be on them. Or so it, in the song, well, you'll hear it, but in the song, you know, we talk about, well, even though black and white can sometimes make things, you know, duller and not as exciting, the irony is we always want to see things in color, meaning as they really are, every single day. So what would it be like if we would see things in black and white? So.
All right. What's the name of the song?
In Color.
In Color, Lizzie Sider.
You've been on my mind, been such good friends for a long time, but I keep fighting these feelings inside. This ongoing war, I'm so ready to fall, but they won't let me feel more. Trying to tell myself I'm strong. If the world saw us the same, it'd be different, I know. Maybe I wouldn't feel like I'm cornered and have to let go. And even though black and white can sometimes make things duller, shame that our world always has to see in color. They don't understand when I tell them how I feel. When you take my hand, no, don't you go falling for that young man. I hear their voices in my head every time we touch. But damn, just follow your heart. And girl, you're thinking too much. Well, how can I be free, really be me, when I'm being judged? If the world saw us the same, it'd be different, I know. Maybe I wouldn't feel like I'm cornered and have to let go. Pieces of glass that reflect different colors. If the world saw us the same, it'd be different, I know.
Maybe I wouldn't feel like I'm cornered and have to let go. And even though black and white can sometimes make things duller, ooh, it's a shame that our world always has to see in color. Even though black and white can sometimes make things duller, oh, it's a shame that our world always has to see in color.
Very nice. Very
Thank
nice.
You.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely voice, lovely music.
Thank
and
you.
Great message, too. Lizzie Sider, thank you so much for being on the show.
Larry, thank you. This was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. And remember, nobody has the power to ruin your
day. That's right.
Remember that.
Always remember it.
And if people want to get your CD or reach out to you, again, the website?
Yes, again, the website is www.lizzieider.com. Also, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google, Bing, Yahoo.
And the journey's just starting.
It's just starting.
You're only 16, as you mentioned, and so you have the whole future ahead of you, and we look forward to seeing you back again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Larry.
I'm Larry London, and this is Border Crossings on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.